You are listening to the Mission Matters Podcast Network, where we amplify the stories of entrepreneurs, executives, and experts.
Is trading subjective or objective? This may sound like a simple question, but it's actually quite a complex question. And it's also a very important one. Is trading subjective or objective? Should a good trader be more subjective or objective? This is Paul Lang again from Discipline Trading Strategies with episode number 11 in an ongoing series of podcasts about what matters in trading and investing. When traders first come to the market, they are inherently very subjective. They don't know what else to be, although they may not characterize themselves as subjective. If they look at a chart, they may say that that stock certainly can't go any lower. And it's obviously a very subjective comment. If they look at fundamentals, they may say that the PE ratio is nice and low, or it's too high to purchase that stock. Again, this is purely subjective. What is too high? What is too low of a PE level? They may feel that they're stepping up the objectivity by listening to analysts or brokers or all the pundits in the news. But unfortunately, this is perhaps a step in the wrong direction. It's a step toward being even more subjective. Pick any market environment, pick any economic topic, pick any stock. And you show me five analysts on one side of the coin, I'll show you five on the other. The whole industry is hugely subjective, and the whole business of analyzing stocks, upgrading stocks, downgrading stocks is all, for the most part, everybody's opinion. At the next level, the trader may start to look at things through an objective lens, not understanding how still truly subjective they are being. For example, take the guy who looked at that stock and says it can't go any lower. Well, maybe now he learns to be more objective. So he puts on a 20-period moving average. He puts that on the chart and now he says that the stock is very extended based on the angle or the distance from the 20 and it can't go any lower. So now he feels like he's being really objective about the whole thing. But what does extended mean? What is the magic number that you have to be away from the 20 to be called extended? And does that mean the stock can't go any lower at that point? You see, he's still back to a subjective interpretation. It's just that he added one objective fact into the mix, but he's still interpreting it very subjectively. Let's just talk a minute about the concept of fundamentals. The fundamental person starts off adding some objectivity and decides that he's only going to look at stocks that have a PE ratio under 40. PE, of course, is the price earnings ratio, a very important number that you know. That's sarcasm in case you're not sure. But many times in the markets, the greatest advancing stocks are the ones with PEs way over 40. As a matter of fact, the greatest moving stocks are often the ones that have an infinite PE because they don't even have earnings yet. How do you account for that objectively? And how about those stocks that seem like a great buy because their PE slips down to 15? Wow, what a value. But what about the fact that every stock that goes bankrupt has a PE that goes from 40 to 30 to 20 to 10 to zero? They all look like a bargain on the way down and the whole while it's going bankrupt. What is your criteria? How do you tell one from the other? It's all purely subjective. And then add into the fact that some of those PE ratios, when somebody says they're too high, then they say, well, you know what? That's justified because I'm looking at now the future earnings, which means that the PE ratio will be back to a normal number once those earnings catch up with the new PE ratio. So now we're buying future earnings. Well, how far in the future do you go? And how do you know what the earnings will be? Naturally, the whole discussion about fundamentals is crazy. It's ridiculous anyhow, because they simply don't work. We know that, but I'm just using that as another example about trying to distinguish subjective from objective. I just want to get the point out there that even in the fundamental realm, when traders try to make things objective, they really are not. Let's talk about technical analysis, where we have at least a bedrock for some objective thinking. Numbers, charts, lines, levels, it all sounds pretty objective, doesn't it? Let me back up for a minute and make a statement so you know where I'm headed. As I said in the beginning, when traders first come to the market, they are 100% subjective. They have no other way to be. Your goal in learning technical analysis is to become as objective as you possibly can. However, you will never become fully objective. There's always some subjectivity. There's always some art in technical analysis. It cannot be avoided. It should not be avoided, and it will never be avoided. To try and trade 100% objectively would mean that you're actually using a system of trading based purely on numbers. And we know that these systems simply do not work. Magical technical indicators fall into this realm, along with any other kind of black box concept that you've heard. A black box is simply a program computer trading concept where you just input what you want to do and the computer handles it. It simply does not work. It's been proven, and it's a common sense thing. It's mathematically impossible for any black box or magical secret formula to work. You can throw into this whole concept as well the new notion about AI and artificial intelligence. I did a presentation about this at Discipline Trading Strategies recently, but the bottom line is this. You think that you have an edge because you're using AI somehow or another. There's a lot of companies out there using an AI concept, but nothing has changed over the years. We've simply gone from HFTs to black box trading and now AI trading, but it all leaves the same problem behind. If Bank of America is using an AI trading robot, and if Wells Fargo is using another trading robot for whatever they're trading, why does somebody have an advantage? However great AI is, if everyone's using it, it washes each other out. It's just like if you're playing chess and you're playing against a human being, you're on an equal footing. The better chess player will win. If you both decide to use computers, well, now it's not you against the other person. It's computer against computer, and it's a stalemate. The same thing will happen in the market. It doesn't matter when that happens. Us as individual traders, if you understand technical analysis, we'll see the patterns where we can still make money. That's the wonderful thing about technical analysis. So our goal back in technical analysis is to put some parameters on charts and give ourselves a framework to be as objective as possible. But in the final analysis, there's always going to be some subjectivity. People sometimes argue against this with me, and they're simply wrong. They will say that you can define how extended something is by the percentage from the 20-period moving average. That's garbage. The difference in volatility among stocks makes it impossible to ever look at a single chart and a single time frame and use any kind of objective determination that's going to be an absolute decision for whatever you're looking for. Take a look at what's involved in making a decision, just some of the highlights, on any stock that you want to go long. It becomes very difficult to say you can ever stay 100% objective. You're looking at a chart that maybe you think is going to be a breakout of some kind on the time frame that you're looking at, daily chart, whatever it is. So you want to go long. But you'll never make money with that simple concept. You have to look at a lot of other things. So on top of that, you have to look at the time frame above that you're on. You have to look at the time frame above where you are, perhaps the weekly chart, to determine if that daily chart is justified. Because obviously you can have daily charts that look similar, but put them in a different spot on the weekly chart and you'll get very different results. And as a matter of fact, you may even have to stretch out to the monthly chart to get a better perspective of where prices are lining up, even for that daily quote unquote breakout that you want to trade. And then you have to kind of take a look underneath the time frame you're on, in this example, the hourly 15-minute chart, to see how that breakout set up, because you can learn a lot from that. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't take a trade without doing that. And then when you get all that figured out, you have to ask another question. What about the market? Is the market ready to support this stock moving up? If you have a breakout on a stock and the market's been moving up for the last 3 months, and now the market is tired and exhausted, do you want to take a breakout on the stock you're trading the day the market decides to fall? Is the market bullish enough to support the stock on its breakout? And if it is bullish, what about the timing to enter it? The market may be bullish, but again, if you're at the end of an extended run, does it make sense to even get into it at that point, right? And then what about your stock? Does it even follow the market or not? Is it a market stock? Is it a market stock recently? Or is it something that kind of does its own thing or has been doing its own thing recently because maybe the stock had a big gap up or some news announcement? Is the stock showing relative strength or weakness that would help you make a decision as to what you're doing? And now once you've got all that figured out, take any one of those questions and change your answer to any one of those fine points by just say 10%. Would that change your final answer about whether or not to take this trade and what the odds are of it working? And if you do that for every single parameter I just gave you, change it 10% one way, 10% the other way, 20%, you can see that you end up with a very unique concept anytime you go to take a chart. It's like a fingerprint. You can see the human mind is uniquely designed to try and understand the exact picture that you're looking for. That's right. You end up looking for a picture of the pattern that you know and you recognize, and you need to see that picture across the time frames that are relevant. Trying to program all this into a computer would lead to an infinite circle, and when you got it all done, you'd have to change the entire formula a few days later when your market bias changed. I'd like to prove to you conclusively that there's a great deal of subjectivity in technical trading, technical analysis, reading a chart, whatever it is, even among the best trained professionals. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way, that's fine. Trading is about the odds and about handling the winners correctly and about handling the losers correctly. So there's nothing wrong with occasionally being on the wrong side of a subjective interpretation. But if you look at the slide notes, Something I've said to you throughout these podcasts is that I don't want to simply leave something as being my opinion. I want to prove it to you in a way that is conclusive, decisive, in a way that you cannot even argue with the other side of the question. If you take a look at the slide notes, you'll see that the slide note asks the question, bullish or bearish, what's the big deal? If you're driving or listening to somewhere else, you can't see the slide notes. I'll kind of run through them real quickly. I think you'll get the idea. On the right side is the number one, and it asks you which candle is more bullish. There's two candles there. There's a big green candle and a big red candle. Now, if you're totally new to trading, you may not understand this, but I got a hunch that most of you listening have had some run through with some technical things, and you probably know what candles are, what big red candles, big green candles are. Big green candles are very bullish candles. Big red candles are very bearish candles, and just a very simple kindergarten approach. So the answer to the first question is obviously the candle on the left is more bullish because it's the definition of a bullish candle. Hang with me. You'll see why I'm doing this. If you go to the next slide, you'll see number two. It just shows you the bulls on the left. Obviously, the one on the left was the most bullish one. It's the green candle. Now, if you go to number three, you'll see that the candle on the left is green, but it's what we call a huge topping tail with just a little bit of a green body. On the right, the candle is red, but it has a huge bottoming tail with just a little bit of red. Which candle is more bullish there? So here, everybody would answer that the one on the right is more bullish. Even though it's red, the red doesn't really matter because the red is so small, the green is so small, and that huge bottoming tail means that the momentum is all buying in that candle. So we have number two, clearly the left is more bullish, right? And on the number three, clearly the right, the red bar, is more bullish. So let's walk through this and go to the next slide, which is number four. You can see here, if you're not able to see this, that the candle on the left, which is a huge topping tail with a little green body, the green body has increased in size. And over on the right, the big bottoming tail bar, the red has increased in size on the top. Everybody here in this case would still say that it's more bullish on the right because the big bottoming tail outweighs the color green and red. If you go to number five, you can see it's the same issue, except the red is growing and the green is shrinking. People still here would typically say that the right candle, the red one, is more bullish. Go to number six, we're getting closer. We have more than a third of the bar is now red, and it's getting to look more and more bearish compared to the bar on the right, which is one third green, but has that topping tail still. Most people here would still go on the right side with the red candle. We get to number seven, and now it gets tough. Now we have a green candle that's half green, half topping tail, a red candle that's half red, half bottoming tail. You see the point I'm doing here. If you go then to number eight, certainly by number eight, we're all saying now that the left bar has become more bullish because eventually that left bar is going to become a solid green bar. It has to be more bullish, right? We go to number nine, it's almost a solid green bar. And then, of course, back to number 10, and we have pure solid green versus red. So if you back up here somewhere, six, seven, if I had 100 of the best traders in the world in a room and I had them secretly vote, which is the most bullish, the left candle or the right candle, and I changed the bars one penny at a time, you can see that there would be a point where I could get 50 traders to say the left bar is more bullish and 50 would say the right. How can you say trading is going to ever be totally objective when the simple determination of one single candle cannot be made even amongst the greatest traders? So let's wrap this up. Bottom line is what? The bottom line is that traders who come in looking at things purely subjectively will always lose in the long run. That's guaranteed. Naturally, anybody who comes in just subjectively 100% bullish and does nothing but buy stuff in a bull market will do well for the duration of the bull market. And sometimes that's a long period of time. It's unfortunate that many, many traders give back everything they made and more because they don't know how to handle pullbacks, bear markets, whatever you want to call them. I said in my opening podcast in the pilot episode that if you have simply put money in the market every month, every quarter, every year, since you were young and you continue to do that, and that's what you've done, that's a great thing and that's what you should do. However, 94% of you approximately are not in that situation, are behind, are struggling, entered the market at the highs, got out at the low and never got back in, whatever the situation is. So you're trying to learn what to do. And that's great. Learning the market is a skill that has to be learned. And if you're going to learn, the point of this episode is that subjectivity will never make you money. objectivity is also the other extreme that will never make you money. That's proven. What we have to do is become as objective as we can, using and learning technical analysis to a very high level. When you get to a high level of understanding of technical analysis, which is not hard to do, the subjective questions become minimized. And you find areas on charts where, believe it or not, it actually doesn't even matter. I can tell by the comments that people make whether or not they're really good traders or not. And one of the people who's written a lot of books that I have a lot of respect for is Mark Douglas, because the comments he makes, a lot of people don't even understand, but he truly understands what he's doing. He's made the comment, and I'm paraphrasing, that you don't even have to know where a stock is going to make money. And when you get to that high level of technical analysis, that's exactly true. It's what I call that moment in time. It's about handling things right. It's about math and probabilities. It's about a very high technical understanding. And once you have all that, that's how you make money. Objectivity is your framework. Subjectivity makes your final decision. It's the way it'll always be in trading. I hope you're enjoying these podcasts. Subscribe to the DTS Podcast, Discipline Trading Strategies, on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Until next time, this is Paul for Discipline Trading Strategies. Good trading, everybody.
This has been a Mission Matters Network production. Listen to this show and browse our entire catalog by visiting missionmatters.com.